I think you know the pledge packets have been sent out in the mail, and we are now in the fall season of renewing our pledged offerings. No doubt, this is an important part of congregational life, and I shall not shrink from the task of encouraging thoughtful and faithful decisions. But I want to go deeper with these questions in light of the gospel today. The first thing that needs to happen at the outset of this pledge drive is a major reality check. I say major because there is no more powerful relationship in our lives besides our relationship with God than is our relationship with money. In the tension between God and wealth does hang life in the balance. One of the most emphatic statements we hear from our Lord is that you cannot serve both God and wealth. Take note, not may not serve both, nor should not serve both God and wealth, but cannot serve God and wealth. If Jesus says something is nigh unto impossible, we do well to believe him. Before the scenario in the gospel plays out in God's time, eternity, today we hear Jesus speak of a wealthy man who begs for relief in Hades but finds none. I know I was drunk with consumerism, but you are a merciful God. Give my family and I another chance. His plight is pathetic and quite avoidable, actually. Filmmaker Steven Spielberg is almost beyond compare in the world of cinema. From Jaws to Amistad and Saving Private Ryan, sheer cinematic excellence. And in the middle of it all is Schindler's List. No reproduction of that dark time in history can do justice to its horrors. But we can learn from the Holocaust through Spielberg's telling of the story of Oskar Schindler. At the end of the film, his workers are gathered outside a factory, awaiting the Allied and Russian armies pressing in on Berlin. Witnessed by 1,100 Jews, Schindler is given a ring with an inscription, a quote from Talmud: "When you save one life, you save the world." Schindler, having been declared a righteous Gentile, breaks down. He takes another ring in his possession and calculates in the economy of terror he's dealt with for years how he might have bartered with the Nazis for one more life. A pin on his lapel could have been worth one, maybe two more. He looks at his car, assessing its value in exchange for more lives had he used it as a bargaining chip. Schindler was a wealthy businessman. How does he come to see the plight of the Jews in Nazi Germany so clearly that he risks much to save them? His experience begs the question, how do we justify keeping anything for ourselves of what certainly is God's to begin with and is God's in the end? Let me say a little bit about tithing. Along with tithing being a benchmark for what or how much to give, the 10% rule, tithing is also a kind of stopgap, a warning, perhaps, that you are at a threshold. It doesn't mean you can't give more, but it should engender a moment of consideration of what you are doing. And rather than giving until it hurts, we do better to give until it feels good. At stake here is the question of who or what do we serve? What does your double-down sense of security rest in? Your God or your money? And how does that find expression in your life? For God and you to see for yourself. I don't know the makeup of your portfolio, and I doubt anyone else does. I don't know how much you have or what you do with what you have. God knows. What you and I can know and must know as we live into our deaths is that salvation is not a series of numbers on a spreadsheet. The God who gives us everything we have and need is the only one worthy of our trust. In the quiet, when I step away from the pulpit, reckon yourself in commitment to God first and your neighbor as yourself. Prayerfully consider a call to partnership with God in service to the world, especially those in great need. Rest in the promise of God's providential care, and then faithfully calculate a pledged gift according to the rule of tithing. What is a righteous offering towards the common good? And then, let it go. Let it be. Don't bankrupt yourself. Except with your will. You can't take it with you. So if you haven't already, give the gift that keeps on giving long after we're gone. Contribution to the endowment fund we can grow with our lasting gifts. Last but not least, stewardship of our resources also includes care of creation. The gift of a temporal home during our sojourn on this earthly plane. Prayerfully consider how you are directly called to participate in the conservation of our natural resources, the preservation of life itself, especially those who have so little and need much. Free yourself today from the grip of worldly possessions and find yourself living and dying as the Lord's possession. Rejoice. Give thanks. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.